From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 27th day of July 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the president believes the discussions he's now having with China could lead to a better relationship with the world's largest developing economy. And the World Ag Trade is back on the WTO shortlist. And Syngenta has reported far lower than expected net profits for the first half of its financial year. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour, and then we'll hear from Doug Yoder at the Illinois Farm Bureau. He'll have a list of the most important things farmers and landowners should know about the ACRE program. And don't forget, in 26 minutes, we'll check the agricultural weather forecast right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Take a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago. On this Monday afternoon, futures like this from the wheat pit nearby contract in the September finished the day. At 520.5, that's up 4.25. December at 547.75, up 4.25. And the March contract at $5.66, up 4 cents. September corn futures, 322.25, 6 higher. December at 333.75, up 6.5. And the March contract at 347, up 6.5. May futures in the corn pit, 356.25, up 6.25. July futures, 364.75, up 6.25 on the afternoon. Here's the way the numbers settled in the bean pit for the day. Soybean contract, $10.21.25, up 0.25. September futures at 9.45, down 6.5 cents. And November beans at 9.06.5, up 8.5 cents for the day. January futures at 9.13.75, down 8.5. March contract, 9.16.75, down 8.75. And May beans at 9.18.5, down 9 cents for the day. August bean meal at 322.90, down 30. September at 296.60, down 310. August oil at 33.60, down 29. August live cattle, 84.70 today, 17.5 higher. The October at 90.20, 45 cents higher. August feeder cattle at 102.40, down 15. And the September futures unchanged on the afternoon. August live hogs at 59.17.5, 12.5 cents higher for the day. Here's you're listening actually to the Closing Mark Report from the University of Illinois. Now here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. September crude oil futures at 68.38, 33 higher. October at $70.05, 26 cents higher, and the ethanol August contract at $1.59.5, up 3 cents. Natural gas at 361.9, up 7.6, down 7.6, rather. And the RBOB gasoline at $1.93.7, 2.1 higher. Heating oil futures $1.79.5, up 1.3. Propane at 81.7 cents, down or rather up 1.8 cents. And the gold futures at 953.30, 50 cents higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 9,089. Is down 3.47 on the afternoon. The U.S. dollar at 78.63, down 0.11. And the CRB index today settled at 252.49. Actually, that's still trading. It's up 58. The Goldman Sachs at 450.11 is up 2.1 on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We're having just a bit of a problem with our telephone lines at this point. So in just, oh, I don't know, 10 or about 7 or 8 minutes, we'll see if we can't get joined up with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In the mean space, Dave Dickey will be here in just a bit. He'll take us through what looks like the agricultural weather forecast or agricultural news for the afternoon. And then I'll be back with a bit of an update on what's happening on the world of Acre.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In agricultural news, U.S. President Barack Obama, opening 2 days of high-level talks with China, said the discussions could lay the groundwork for a new era of sustained cooperation, not confrontation, in a relationship likely to shape the 21st century. Obama said that Washington and Beijing needed to forge closer ties to address a host of challenges, from lifting the global economy out of a deep recession to nuclear proliferation and global climate change. Obama said he was under no illusions that the U.S. and China will agree on every issue, but he said closer cooperation in important areas was critical for the world. Obama said that the U.S. and China have a shared interest in clean and secure energy sources, but the Obama administration intends to remain focused on the trade gap as well, telling Beijing that it cannot rely on U.S. consumers to pull the global economy out of a recession this time. The chairman of the World Trade Organization trade talks says diplomats will pick up negotiations on a farm trade agreement in September, working on the technicalities of fleshing out a possible deal and plugging remaining gaps. New Zealand Ambassador David Weller says that delegates want to be ready to handle the mass of number crunching that would be required if there was a breakthrough in the WTO's long-running Doha round. Walker says that he is attending a meeting of key trade ministers in India on September 3rd and 4th, which is expected to give further impetus to the Doha talks. Syngenta AG reports a steeper-than-expected 9% fall in first-half net profits as the stronger dollar and bad weather largely offset an increase in prices, and the agrochemical company abandoned its 2009 goal of growing earnings per share. The producer of crop insurance chemicals and seeds said net profits fell to $1.39 billion from $1.52 billion. Syngenta expects the stronger dollar to impact 2009 net profits by between $150 million and $200 million. The impact in the first half of the year was $140 million. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, both of which you can find online and listen to anytime you'd like at willag.org. Sign up there to have them delivered to your computer automatically as a podcast. It's all at WILLAG. .org. Now up next, more on the Acre program. Farmers and landowners are this week making decisions that will affect income for 4 seasons. I'll have more on a list of the most important things to know about the Acre program. The most important thing to know about the Acre program, says Illinois Farm Bureau's Senior Director of Marketing, Doug Yoder, is what it is not.
See, the most important thing about ACRE is the fact that it's a revenue-based safety net as opposed to their other choice, which is strictly a price-triggered safety net. Their other choice, the countercyclical program, has a statutorily set price of $2.35 on corn that the market has to get below before that even kicks in. So that is not extremely high coverage in this current environment that we're in.
Because ACRE is revenue-based, Yoder says farmers must consider it as a viable option for their farm operation, even if they decide not to enroll.
When you look at coverage levels, as I mentioned before, the two are vastly different. A $2.35 trigger for countercyclical and corn as compared to a current estimate of roughly $650 an acre for the acre coverage level. That's apples and oranges, in my opinion. The coverage levels are completely different. Now, even saying that, even though the coverage level is immensely better for acre, in my opinion, I do know that there are certain Illinois farmers that will not take it for valid reasons. There are some hurdles you have to live with. There are some costs that you will incur. And obviously, there's no guarantee of a payment any year with either program. So you're obviously you're giving up some costs for the potential payment through better coverage.
Farmers can get a better handle on how ACRE might affect their lands by using online calculators. Calculators are available on the FSA website from Iowa State, Texas A&M, and, of course, the University of Illinois. That site address is www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. Again, that's farmdoc.uiuc.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon, having some technical difficulties throughout the afternoon, but I think we've got some of them worked out. We'll know momentarily. Kurt Kimmel is away from the office this afternoon at Bates Commodities in Normal, but Pete Manhart is there, and he should be on the line with us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon.
Well, good enough. You're there with us, and that makes me happy. Let's talk a little bit about the marketplace. There was an awful lot of green in the corn pit today. Let's start there, and then we can go to the bad news over on the soybean side.
Well, we opened lower early and then didn't stay there very long, maybe the first hour, and then we took off to the upside. Short covering, worries about the corn crop, I think, in other countries, and still worries about our acres.
And then, of course, on the acres side, we will have an update of the acreage number in seven states, for corn at least, including Illinois. And acreage coverage for soybeans is always updated in the August contract or in the August crop production report from NASS, no matter what. So we'll get some brand new numbers, and this year at least an additional number on the corn. Do you think it will show much of a difference? There was a time where people thought it would, and I think they've backed away from that at this time.
I think there's people thinking that maybe we'll have a half million less acres just due to lack of planting in places where they just couldn't get to it. But I don't think they're talking big number differences at all.
And so what do you see then as you talk to producers, maybe a difference between the eastern corn belt and the western corn belt? I've seen some amazing numbers on expectations out of the western corn belt for yield at this time.
Yeah, they got a head start on everybody, better than ever as far as early planting dates, and they are supposedly in fantastic shape. But again, we aren't through the season yet. You still need the rest of July and August for all that corn to fill. And there are some fantastic numbers out there. I don't know if they'll hold or not. But then you get to the eastern corn belt, and we still in our area have 70% of the corn not tasseled yet, and it's almost August.
Well, we'll have to wait and see how that all pans out. Are producers particularly scared of a frost? It doesn't seem to me that that might be the case at this time.
I don't think they are right now, because the weather people are talking about a late fall again, similar to last year. If all of a sudden we would get weather forecasts of cold coming in early, they might be. But right now they don't seem too worried about an early frost.
How good does the month of August have to be to finish out a crop in the eastern Corn Belt?
Well, I think we need good rains where we haven't had any in a while, but in the eastern Corn Belt, there are a few dry spots, but an awful lot of them still have plenty of moisture for the corn to fill out with.
What are producers asking you most often when they call in today and in the last week or so?
Are we to the lows yet? Are we going to go lower? And the question of that, the answer to that is no one knows. We're still worried about the economic news of usage. We're worried also now they're starting to talk about the rest of the world's crop maybe isn't as good as they thought, and we're the garden spot in the world, so that maybe we've gone low enough. But others are still worried about under $3 on the board.
If we do hit under $3 on the board, do you think it will be short-lived?
I think it depends on the crop size. I think the economy isn't going to grow boom. It's going to take a slow grinding, and I think that's what we'll have in the corn when we do find bottom, a slow grinding upward into the winter, not jumping right back up.
All numbers point to the fact that producers have a lot of corn left in the bin. Are your expectations that they should hang on to it a little longer than usual, trying to wait for a bounce in the corn market to get a sale made?
Well, the problem with that is the elevators are trying to get cleaned out so they can fill up for the fall with the fall harvest. So where are they going to go with it if they hold it longer? I think it's time that they unload it and look at other ways to make it up if we start higher.
Any other final word before I let you go for the afternoon?
Just it's the dog days of summer, and we don't know if we've seen lows. Normally we're still down into the middle of August, and we see a bounce maybe in the middle of August, then down into harvest. Harvest in this part of the country is going to be late just due to the planting dates, especially in the corn.
Thanks much.
That's
Pete Manhart. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, filling in this afternoon for Kurt Kimmel, who is away from his desk there. We'll talk in just a few minutes with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County about what's happening in the world of the cash grain market.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason on the line with us this afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market from the Andersons right here in Champaign County is Lisa Jones. Good afternoon to you, Lisa.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
Well, let's start off with Champaign County and surrounding areas. Your draw from the Andersons is pretty large in the eastern part of Illinois, the western part of Indiana. What do you hear from farmers as it goes to the condition of their crops?
You know, we're seeing probably the best talk of crops coming from western Indiana. We do a lot with customers over in the Vetersburg area, and they've had some nice rain, some nice weather, and they were able to get in their crop a lot earlier in better conditions than a lot of our Champaign growers. So that seems to be where our first crop will be harvested in the fall, as long as this trend continues, and seems to be where we'll see some of the best numbers. That was where we saw the best wheat come this year. They had high pest weight, low moisture, and some pretty good yields over in Indiana, somewhere around 100 bushels an acre.
And then on the soybean side of that ledger, are they looking the same way for soybeans and thinking they'll have a good crop with it too?
They are. I mean, I think this year what we'll see most important is when guys were able to get their crop in. We fought a lot of wet weather over here, and they just didn't see the same kind of conditions over on our Indiana side.
And then in the draw area, who is the worst in terms of where the crop is at maturation at this point? I suppose not maturation, but how far along they are in the growing season. Is that the area that runs from, I don't know, Monticello into Shelbyville?
It is. We've talked to a few growers down in the Tuscola area, and that seems to be west and southwest of Champaign, I think, is where we'll see our biggest issues come fall. Not only was it late, but that area seems to be where we had the most unplanted acres.
And what are you doing at the elevator at this point about old crop corn that you either have in storage for yourselves or that you're looking to attract from the bins of farmers? Are we got something going on with DP charges? What's happening in that front?
Here in Champaign, we have been free DP on both corn and beans. We'll run that free DP till August 31, and then we'll go into new crop charges. But we have been encouraging guys, especially with as wet as this crop went into the bin in the fall, that if they have any kind of condition issues, just to get it into the elevator sooner rather than later, so they're not fighting off damages or any kind of blue eye and issues of that sort.
And what are your expectations about when the first new crop corn will start to be delivered?
You know, I mean, some of the stuff that we got planted a couple miles south of the elevator at the end of April, I mean, I think that'll be the first to come out. The question's going to be is, with this damper weather that we're seeing in the summer, it seems to be great for pollination, but we're going to face the same kind of issues we had last year in terms of corn drying down. So it'll just all depend whether guys are going to pull wet corn out of the field or try to wait and see if we can't get it to dry down a little bit and not get those moisture charges.
And then turn your attention to basis and what it's been doing over the last week and a half?
We have seen some improvement both in our old crop corn basis as well as our new crop corn basis. We haven't seen much improvement since late May or so. The biggest basis movement we've seen is in our bean yield, as we see processes in the area start to shut down for August to do basic repairs and just a lack of beans. We have dropped our basis at Champaign from just around $1 over the November to we are currently 85 over the November.
And what are your bids for the day?
For cash corn into Champaign, 329. Cash beans, 991. Fall bid for corn into Champaign, 316. Beans, 891.
Lisa, thanks so much.
Yeah, you have a nice afternoon, Todd.
Hey, you too. Lisa Jones is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us on the phone to take a look at the cash grain market each and every Monday. If you'd like to hear what Lisa had to say again, you can do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. And don't forget, you can sign up for our weekend newsletter there as well. Just hit subscribe over on the right-hand side of the page. If you don't like the newsletter, and it's absolutely free, come back to the page and hit unsubscribe. It's all really simple to do, and it's all made available to you free of charge at willag.org. In the coming week in that newsletter, in fact, we'll try to give you an all-acre newsletter with series of calculators and some information about the acre program to help farmers and landowners make their decisions about that federal farm program. Decisions are due on the 14th of August. That's 2 days after USDA, actually 3 days if you count the day of Wednesday, after the USDA is due to come out with its statewide averages for all of the states and a national yield as well in those updated crop production and acreage numbers from USDA on the 12th of August. It'll be an important decision. Stan Wilson at USDA's FSA Illinois office says if you want to hold that decision off, get the acre program paperwork all signed, leave it at your house, and then bring it in after you've made the decision, even if that is after the 14th of August. Back in two with the weather.
It's National Tequila Day. Tequila was first produced in the 16th century near the city of Tequila by the Aztecs, long before the arrival of the Spanish in 1521. When the Spanish ran out of their own brandy, they began distilling tequila, North America's first indigenous distilled spirit. By the way, it is a common misconception that tequila is fermented from cactus. On this day in agricultural history in 1938, Nestle introduced Nescafé instant coffee in Switzerland. Originally, the product was developed to assist the Brazilian government in solving its coffee surplus problem. Instant coffee is made with a blend of beans mixed in a blending drum, roasted, ground, and then brewed in huge percolators. Then the coffee is sprayed into a heated stainless steel dryer to remove all the water. In 1997, Scottish scientists announced they had cloned a sheep with human genes. And in 2005, Richard Dahl died. Dahl, a British scientist, was one of the first to link cigarette smoking to lung cancer. Based on a 50-year study, Dahl found that almost half of persistent cigarette smokers were killed by their habit. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media on a Monday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. The folks at Chesapeake Energy are not available today. Our own Mike Sola has this look at the growing area's weather.
We're off to a new week, and the end of the month is staring at us, and we are still looking for warmer conditions. Will they show up? Well, nothing in the short term. I have been going over the global forecast system model and looking at conditions expected across the United States. In fact, I've been looking at the Northern Hemisphere, and there is an indication that the jet stream may be trying to push up towards the U.S.-Canadian border. It's normal summer position across the United States, across the Northern Hemisphere. And it looks like it may be trying to push up to the Canadian border towards the end of this 16-day model run. That doesn't give me a lot of confidence that it will happen, but it is a sign that some of that heat building in the desert southwest, I shouldn't say building, the heat that's been taking up residence in the desert southwest, may start to spread across the northern plains and eventually towards the Midwest. Again, that's only what the models indicate, and they're still indicating that for a couple weeks out. So, again, something to keep your eye on, but it doesn't make me want to jump right in and say warmer weather, warmer conditions are definitely on the way, a sign that it could happen. As far as that jet stream, again, quite strong over the Pacific. That's normal, bringing storms into the Pacific Northwest and up the Pacific coastline. At times up through the Aleutian Islands, diving down over the Canadian prairie provinces and into the upper Midwest. That's a relatively normal summer situation. The pattern that has been unusual is the jet stream staying to the south of the Great Lakes for much of the summer season and keeping New England and the Great Lakes in a cool and generally wet weather pattern. That's been the unusual pattern. And again, no definite signs that that's starting to give way to warmer conditions in the short term. The latest model run does indicate that that may start to take shape, but that, again, is out towards the end of the first full week of August. For the short term, we do have cool weather across the northern and central Rockies and hot, dry conditions elsewhere in the north, in the western states. The northwestern heat is promoting the harvest of winter wheat. It is stressing some of the unirrigated spring wheat fields out there. And in the Corn Belt, near normal temperatures, abundant soil moisture, and that is maintaining nearly ideal conditions for the corn and soybean development across a large portion of the Corn Belt. As far as dryness issues, we're still looking at dry conditions across a large portion of the upper Midwest, Minnesota, Wisconsin, very dry conditions there. There's also a dryness that's starting to become more of a concern across eastern Ohio, and that stretches into the western portion of or the eastern portion of Indiana. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Mike Sola from Illinois Public Media with an update of the weather forecast for the growing areas. You have a great afternoon. This has been the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.